I think no matter what industry you're in, you're a tech business. I think you need to realize that.
Ooh.
Right? Whatever it is. You're in fashion, you're in food, you're in you're a gas station, you're whatever, you're in a tech business. You need to realize that there's processes and systems that you need to put in place. Make sure you have more than one source of income. One of the key things in manifesting is to know what to manifest, right? I want a Golf Craft 135 because when I walk in the bedroom, there's a little mirror that makes me feel a certain way, and then there's the bathtub, and then the bathtub has this and that. And the more precise it is, the more experienced I am. If you have the knowledge to be able to turn that manifestation onto paper into a plan, right? Because the plan is where it's at. When you thought something was true and it isn't, right? Or you thought somebody was real and they're not, thinking I could buy loyalty and seeing that unfold.
What's going on, people? This is your boy, Michael O, your chief motivational officer. Listen, I am excited to bring you a brand new podcast, Moving Mountains, hosted by myself. Find me on Spotify, find us on iTunes, find us on YouTube. Connect with us, Moving Mountains Podcast.
Guys, welcome. Welcome to the Moving Mountains Podcast. Oh my God, I am excited to be back doing the podcast. Listen, guys, I don't know what the hell 2023 was, but welcome to 2024. We made it, didn't we? We bloody made it. Listen, I know I took a break. Sometimes you just need to take a break. Like I said, you know, I think I mentioned in an episode one time that I'm writing my book at the moment, and writing my book, running my businesses, trying to juggle family, trying to juggle life, doing podcasts and all of these social media commitments. It's a lot. And for me, I've always said, you know, if you've been following me for a long time, I always say, look, if there is ever a time where my businesses and life collides with my social media and YouTube and stuff like that, you know, those have to take a backseat for a while, because I'm always a big believer that I can't pour from an empty cup, right? So I love to come here and inspire and bring people, bring guests, bring gems, bring nuggets, bring all of this stuff to you. But if I feel like I'm getting burnt out, I need to step back, take a break from all of it so I can go and replenish myself. And I can't wait. I'm excited because the book will be ready this year. And I'm excited. Look, this episode, first of all, I said welcome to 2024. 2024 has a new energy about it. You know, we're here. We're a few weeks into the year now. I hope everything's going well for you. I hope you guys are feeling good. I hope you feel the freshness of the new season. There's a lot of great stuff happening already in 2024. It feels very different vibrationally to 2023. So I'm super excited. Listen, today's episode, I'm not alone. I've got a guest. And, you know, this episode is one of those episodes you're going to have to grab a pen and a paper and take some notes, because my guest today has nothing but gems to share. You know, for me, you know, I like to bring entrepreneurs, people who have started businesses, but occasionally I also like to bring entrepreneurs, is what I refer to them anyway. And they're people who go into businesses, they occupy a C-suite position, and they go and they start turning things around. My guest today is one of such. Let me read his credentials to you, because I don't want to miss out anything. Having occupied several CFO and COO positions in large companies across tech, oil, and finance industries, he is now board director and CEO of Blue Rock TMS, where I know that he oversees operations in the Middle East, Africa, and Turkey. He's going to tell us a lot more about it. Last year, he was featured in the Arabian Business Power List in the top 100 powerful people to know in Dubai. Glad to know you, brother. Glad to know you. Humbled. I'm doing something right.
Humbled king.
My guest today is none other than Sadi Abdul Karim. Brother, hey, welcome to the Moving Mountains
podcast.
Thank you. You know, this has been overdue for a minute, right?
Yeah, 100%, man. 100%.
We've been trying to do this, but yeah. man's. I said, bro, where do you live these days? He was like, I live on a jet. Fucking love it. That's the energy.
If it's one word of a lie, may God strike me down right now. Yeah.
I bloody love it.
It's so good to see you, man. Really. I love to see you shining too, man. Absolutely, man. Listen, this podcast, I mean, it's part of my weeklies. So
I love it.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on. For real.
I appreciate you, bro. Listen, today I want to find out things that I don't even know.
Okay.
Which is hard. But that's what I want to get. When I bring guests onto the show, for me, I know my audience. My audience are go-getters. They're out there, they're starting businesses, they're climbing up the corporate ladder. And I want to bring gems that will continue to enhance their lives, that will continue practical tools.
Nice.
Practical tools that they can apply immediately from where they are to be able to get where they want to go. Mm-hmm. So I want to start your journey from the beginning.
Ooh, here we go.
Right?
Let's go.
I want to go from the beginning.
Ooh, grimy. Let's go dirt. Yeah, let's go.
Love the energy already. So for me, I always feel that in order to be able to be in the positions that you've taken, mm-hmm. COO, CFO, mm-hmm. CEO, mm-hmm. there is something within your journey, something within your upbringing, certain gems, certain things that you would have had to do consistently mm-hmm. along the way for a prolonged period of time mm-hmm. for you to be able to get in those positions. Mm-hmm. Think back. Mm-hmm. What do you think is about you that these organizations keep drawing you out so that you can go in there and turn things around?
Yeah, sick question, man. Sick question. Appreciate Big it. Up. Yeah. If I go back to it, maybe the some foundation,
yes.
some
yes.
setting, right? Arab dad, American mom. Yeah. Right, which made me a little bit different. Right, yeah. Born and raised in Dubai.
Yeah.
Born in the mid '80s. Just for everybody out there, you know, you guys do the math. You guys do you.
We're '80s babies, man.
Yeah,
we're
man. '80s yeah, babies. Yeah, yeah. I feel like I was sweating saying it. You know.
But you know what?
Yeah.
Listen, they said life begins at 40.
Yeah.
Right. So
yeah.
We're chilling. Hey,
40's the new 30, right?
Bro,
hey, Jay-Z said it.
Fam. Yeah. Look how good we look.
Yeah. Look at us.
We're all right, man. We're all right. Yeah.
born and raised in a town. Dubai was a town. It wasn't the city that you know it to be today, right? We grew up in Jumeirah, riding our bikes on the beach pretty much all day.
Yeah.
I think one of the differentiating factors, I think one of, you know, to answer your question specifically, what attracted people to me was my ability to manifest, was being able to have a vision, know my worth, and then also know that it's possible, right? And that's a big part of the Dubai story, right?
Absolutely.
As you know, and I know you've covered it time and time and time again.
Absolutely.
And it's real, right? There's existence,
yeah.
right? Overnight yeah. almost, it felt like,
yeah.
you know? But it comes from a deep-seated belief that it's possible, right? There's no boundary that I can't cross. And the resilience. So if you couple that ability to manifest with the ability to grind,
yeah,
right, and that almost stubbornness of there's no way that I'm not going to get this, you know, I think that's really what attracted a lot of people to work
and
with
And that
me.
Was innate? That was, you were just grown up, you were just born with it? Or is it because of the environment, you know, seeing your dad go and do it, you know,
yeah.
kind of planted that seed?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. 100%. Yeah, I can't say it was all... It wasn't all nature.
Yeah.
It was a lot of nurture.
Absolutely.
Pops is an oil and gas entrepreneur. Got in at the right time.
Yeah.
Right. The UAE was booming. He focused on the gas world. Mm. He brought a lot of technology to the region, and I think made some valuable relationships that allowed him to grow. And I got to see him do that. Right. I spent my weekends with him.
Yeah.
Right. Rolling around in the car, sitting in the meetings, you know, counting cash
yeah.
at 8, you know, you know, seeing, yeah. you know, seeing how things were done. And then a lot came from high school. Right. I was kind of selected to join pretty elite group of guys, which was, in essence, it was built for the royal family of Dubai. And some families around it. And, you know, that was sick.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Realizing that, you know, till today, you know, you know, when you hang out with the guys, you sit around the table and you're like, this is some control right here. Absolutely. You know,
it's power.
Yeah. There's power, right? Yeah. There's government, there's yeah. executive, there's cash, there's influence, there's, you know, accessibility. So having, you know, I think network is important.
Absolutely.
But you know, it comes down to who you are, right? Absolutely. There's a lot of guys in high school that are employees,
right?
You know,
right?
That just, you know, and everybody needs them,
absolutely.
Right? Everybody, you know, anybody who owns a company or runs a company, you can't run. You know, there's nothing that's done on
absolutely.
Your own. You know. So I hope that kind of answers the question, right?
Yeah,
it was,
yeah, yeah.
you know, it is nature nurture.
Yeah.
But I've got to be honest. Like, I feel different.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Cut from a different cloth. We're grinders, right? We out yeah. there, you yeah. know. It's something as simple as this, right? Yeah. I met you through friends, very dear friends of ours, right? Yeah. We stayed in contact, you know. Network is, you know, is your wealth,
right?
You know, now we're here. We're finally getting this done.
Oh my gosh. Like a year later, though. Blimey.
Your staff and my staff, I mean, they need to get closer. We need to take them out for dinner. Just make sure this happens, you know? Yeah. Big up, King. I love it.
Mm. It's so important you say that because, you know, that's one of the things that I try to do with my daughter, right? I make sure she's around it. Mm-hmm. She gets to see it.
Yep.
You know, she's always said, from when she was six, she had said she wanted to do New York Fashion Week, London Fashion Week. She wants to model. And she's done all of that.
I love that.
You know, she should come to me. She has business ideas she wants to explore. Now she wants to go to Stanford. So we're going this summer to go and see it.
Oh, beautiful.
And she's only 11.
Yeah.
Right? But that nurture is really important.
It truly is,
You know, if you're lucky enough to be able to be around it, it's so important to be able to glean as much from it as possible. Not everybody gets that, though. And so it makes the journey a little bit more staggered. And we'll continue to talk more about how to be able to make that transition in terms of building your network. But you came from oil and gas, right?
But I just wanted to touch on that one piece right there. I think you're doing exactly what is necessary to be able to manifest. One of the key things in manifesting is to know what to manifest, right? I always use this example. There's a dude who wakes up and he says, I want to buy a boat, right? And he's trying to manifest himself a boat. And there's another guy who says, I want a Gulf Craft 135 because when I walk in the bedroom, there's a little mirror that makes me feel a certain way. And then there's the bathtub and then the bathtub has this and that. And the more precise it is, the more experienced I am. I know what I want. That's that emotion is so much more powerful, right? I want that mirror.
Yeah.
That's the mirror. Forget the boat. I want the mirror on the boat. Right? Whatever it may be. So I think it's important to take her to Stanford. It's important to take her to Yale, right? So she can really feel it.
Absolutely. You know? Listen, you're talking my language now because, you know, I call myself the chief manifestation officer.
That is,
I'm glad you touched on it, right? Because we manifest everything. We manifest everything. We are literally everything that we're giving our attention to, everything that we're giving our focus to, we are drawing into our lives.
True.
The difference between people who make it and they are able to build a great life is that they're constantly giving their attention to the things that they want to manifest.
Yeah.
Whereas everybody else gives their attention to everything else.
Yeah, day
right?
to day.
Because I always say that, look, when I wake up in the morning, everybody else wants my attention. People are calling my phone, people I want to deal with, people I don't want to deal with. Everybody wants your attention because attention is currency. Because our attention is literally the building blocks that manifestation is made out of.
It's true.
Right?
Yeah.
What are you giving your attention to when you wake up?
Yeah. And I'm going to build on that. I think attention is I know exactly what you mean because we feel it, right? Where we've, you know, it's a big part of our lives. And I love that chief manifestation officer, man. I love that. I think you should definitely copyright that, bro.
You know what I'm saying?
That one's yours.
We gotta do this.
I think, you know, the attention is, you're spot on with it. But you couple that with the emotion part of it, right? So it's the attention, but it's the emotional attention that I put to something, right? That mirror, right? It's the emotion. Right, I can give attention to the boat,
absolutely.
But I want the emotion. I want to feel it, right? And the more I feel it, it's harder to decouple myself from that.
Absolutely,
that's me.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
If you want a fast car, which one? Right. Tell me. Right. Which go and drive them, see how you feel in them.
Yeah.
You might realize. I mean, I love cars. Right. Yeah. Half of them I can't fit in.
Yeah.
Right. What's the point in manifesting a Ferrari if I can't fit in it, my guy?
For real.
You know, I'm for 6 foot four, you know, 230 pounds or whatever, you know, 240, you know, can't fit in one of those. Right. So I've got to, you know, figure out something that works for me. Yeah. Then I'm like, ooh, this is nice. This is what I want. It's that emotion. Yeah. So I'm spot on with you.
I completely agree. And I'll stay there for a little bit.
Uh-huh.
How did you, I've learned that in the last maybe decade. I knew that there was absolutely attention to something, but also rightfully so, your attention to something could also be the attention to the absence of something. So in essence, what you're creating is the absence of the thing wanted.
Yeah, yeah, when yeah, you, yeah. When you see attach, that a lot. You see that a lot, yeah.
But when you attach the emotional capacity to it, the emotional feeling,
yeah,
that will tell you exactly what. When you think about that car, how does it feel? Does it feel exciting?
Yeah.
Or do you feel like, if only.
Or I'm cramped.
Oh,
I'm,
right. Okay.
You know? Yeah.
So where did you learn that? Because people don't teach this enough. I think now we're starting to talk more
about
it. Yeah,
this one is pure luck, man. This one is being right place, right time, right city, right network, you know, because I got to experience everything.
Yeah.
I got to see. I got to be on every boat I wanted, right? Every boat that exists, right? Before I could say, this is the one I want. I got to drive every car. I got to be in every car before I could say, yo, this is what I want, right?
Yeah.
By the time I was 17, 18, I traveled pretty much every continent, right? And I know that's very lucky, right? That's right place, right time, right circumstances, but there's learnings in it, right? And I think it's really important. I love what you're doing with your daughter because that's the learnings that you pass on.
Absolutely.
Let's go to Stanford. Let's go to Yale. Have you thought of Oxford? Have you thought of Cambridge? Let's go, let's hang out.
Yeah.
Have you heard of punting in Cambridge, right? Let's go and, you know, go and get the vibe, catch it out. And if that emotion hits, then it's almost impossible to let that go, right?
Yeah. I love that. What do you want right now?
Peace. I want peace, man. Sleep. Sleep. I want sleep. God, I don't know if you guys can see this. My eyes are red. I haven't slept in days.
I hear you.
It's just, you know.
I suppose my question really is, what drives you now? Like, what are you passionate about? What is it that you're trying to achieve?
It's now? Legacy now, right? I've got two boys. I've got twin boys. Yeah. Big up, boys. If you ever see this, hey, stay at home. Get back home.
Yeah, man,
it's also impact, right? They're making money is making money.
Yeah.
Right? And it's what do you want to leave, right? I know this sounds super cliche, right? But it's true. It's what do you want to leave in this world? What impact do you want to leave? And how do you want to be remembered by the people around you, right? I want to be a sweetheart, the guy who was there, who will pick up your call no matter what's going on, who made an impact in the world, right? Who left it in a better place than he found it, you know? And I've kind of made my, you know, my niche. I started off in banking, worked on Wall Street. The world ended. I remember I had to ask my dad at the time, this was March of 2009, and I was like, Merrill Lynch just got bought out by Bank of America. And they said the magic two words, no bonus, right? And I was in New York, right? You know, as you can imagine, you got your first job, right? You earn X, you spend 2X.
Right.
Yeah, we are. And, you know, thankfully I was fortunate enough to have a pops to call, you know? So I called pops and I was like, pops, I need X to keep me float. He's like, you want me to pay X to work for someone else? I'll pay you 2X to come work for me, boy, right? Mm. And so I was on the next flight. So I came back, I worked for him for a couple of years and I really got to understand business, right? I'm contemplating and let's see if this actually works out. I love your advice on this, but mixing blood and business is a tough game.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And I was thinking, playing with the idea of starting my own podcast or a little series to kind of focus on this, blood and business, and talk to other people who've worked with family and people who've left the family, like myself, to go and work on their own things, right? Because they're, you know, it's like oil and water, right? It's tough.
It is. But you see, like you, I had a very successful dad. The difference is my dad didn't have any, there was no pouring into us when we were growing up. My dad left when I was six. As a matter of fact, my youngest brother, he's 3 years younger than me. My dad hasn't even seen him in over 20 years, right? So in 1996, my dad was one of the wealthiest men in Ghana.
Wow.
Right?
Wow.
And he was blessed with a lot of boys. There was six of us.
Wow.
Probably seven.
Mashallah, right? Mashallah.
So, but he didn't really build a relationship with anybody.
And
now, you know, now I'm older. For me, my dad, me and him are cool now.
Mm-hmm.
but he's the perfect blueprint for me of how not to live.
Understood.
Right?
Understood.
And so I repaired that relationship, not for him, but for me. Because I'm like, you know what? I want to know everything that you did so that I don't repeat these mistakes.
Yeah, yo, man, I need to deep this. That one's deep.
Right?
Yeah.
And now when I look back, I dropped out of med school at 19. Mm-hmm. Been working for myself since 19.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And some days I sit down and I think and I'm like, you know, my dad chose all the wrong people mm-hmm. around him who everybody screwed him over mm-hmm. to the point where there's nothing left. Right? And now on the other side, as an adult, I'm like, man, I wish we didn't have to start from the bottom up.
Yeah, I get that.
Do you know what I'm saying? Because we were in a position where we didn't have to.
I get that.
Like me and all my siblings have had to go and do our own thing so that the next generation will be different. But we already had, you had that set up.
First of all, big up, Kingman, because where you are today is admirable, right? Especially given the circumstances. But that made you, right?
Yeah.
You're here. You're, you know, it made you, right?
I had no choice.
Yeah, exactly. and you know, I think even if, like, if I take a look at what my pops did was made sure I had the tools, but made sure I know how to make money.
Yeah.
Right? Made sure, yeah. I mean, he built his own, you know, yeah, like he built his own competition.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
And every single one of my ventures, I worked for him for a couple of years. I learned a lot, right? I became the CFO of the family business, and blood and business started working together, right? And at one point, I just said, you know what? I'm gonna park this. I'm gonna go and do this on my own.
Yeah,
right. And it was I primarily was to. You know when you're like in your early 20s, man, you just want to stick it to him. I want to show you, right? It's not about making money. It's just, I was driven by the fact that I wanted to show him I could be great.
Correct.
Right?
And I didn't want to be a lap. Who you are.
I didn't want to be a lapdog.
I hear.
sit, go, come. Nah, that's not me, man. You didn't build that.
Yeah.
You know, I'll do it for time, right? But you got to show me a route, right? I think that's where, I think Pop still scratches his head. And it's like, where did I, like, why isn't he why isn't he taking over the family business?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Why is this guy on a jet all the time? Why isn't he right here in the majlis?
Yeah.
You know, with everybody, you know, with my other cousins.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's just very simple,
it's a
right?
Tough balance.
You built me. You gave me all the tools.
Yeah.
You put me in the right network. You gave me the right education, right? You showed me how you did it. Right?
It's a tough balance.
Right?
It's a tough balance.
So I hope that for your daughter, man.
You know
I
what?
Really
but
do.
You see what?
I hope you're at a point where she's just like, Pops, keep your money. I'm good.
Oh, no. She says that now.
While she's trading Ethereum.
No, for real.
On God.
No, I'm telling you.
Wild. Because I've set up.
So I've set up Revolut accounts.
Yeah.
Right?
Sick.
And on that, you can trade crypto.
Yep.
So I remember I've been talking about crypto. I've been talking about NFTs and da-da-da-da.
Mm-hmm.
For a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember she was explaining to one of her uncles what NFTs were.
Because
she makes all of these hand drawings and stuff mm-hmm. that she put on TikTok. She films the process and puts them on TikTok. So she was like, Daddy, I want to make these like NFTs. So how can you help me put them on OpenSea? And she mentioned OpenSea to me.
Really?
She must have been maybe 8 or 9 at the
really?
Time.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh man, they're built different these days, you know?
No, she, it's crazy, but it's-
Bro,
it's,
when I was 8 and 9, I was kicking a Pepsi can,
bro. When I was honestly.
On God, right?
Honestly.
Yeah, like, yo, here's the rock. Here, let me see if I can get
it's
a little-
It's crazy.
You know?
It's insane.
Yeah, yeah,
but
yeah.
When I look
at- Screens from days.
Man.
You know?
Yeah. When I look at, but she's always been like this.
Mm.
From 5, 6, she had a clear idea because every year I'll get her to write down her goals of what she wants to achieve and mm-hmm. da-da-da. And she would always go and come up with some great stuff.
Yeah.
And so I obviously- I want to create something that she can take over.
Yeah, yeah.
But the
yeah,
reality yeah. is when you do prepare them well, they want to go and do their own thing.
Yeah, yeah. And they want to do it better than you.
And they want to do it better, which is absolutely a great testament.
Yeah, which so, I think is part of being a parent, right?
Okay.
It's the only person that you are willing to be better than you.
Right.
We're competitive.
Right.
Right. There's, I mean, you know, I think one of the first thing that drew us together was that alpha energy.
Yes.
Right.
Yes,
and
yes,
you know, there's nothing better than alpha wolf pack running together. Yeah. Right. When that aligns, right.
It's beastly.
Yeah, man. And it's just, it's such a great energy, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. So it's drawn to each other, you know? It's like, all right, King. Okay. I see you, you know, I see what you're doing out here, you know? But it, you know, it's still competitive, right? You want to be the number one podcast in the region, if not in the world, right? And you're trying to stick it to Joe Rogan. Let's go.
Every one of them.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
from Stephen Bartlett to Joe Rogan, everybody.
Yeah, all of them, right?
Yeah, facts.
And so you're going up there, but I
but I love you guys, though.
Yeah, it's all
respect.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Big up.
The world is big enough.
It's
big enough for all of us to be at the top of our
100%,
game.
100%. Saying? But, you know, that competition gets us going.
Yeah.
And I guess the point here is that I think you'd totally be cool being number two to your daughter. Right?
100%.
You wouldn't even sleep. They're like, yo, you know what? That's you, girl.
You see, that's exactly the mindset that I have, but that maybe your dad didn't have at the time, because I feel like we're built differently to the older generation.
Yeah,
the older generation wanted us to be under their supervision, under their control, and for them to guide the ship.
Ding, ding, ding.
That's the one, for real.
Yeah, that's truth. Deep that, guys.
Right.
That is so true.
Right. Whereas because we were victims of that, we don't want to repeat that.
Yeah, we want to free them.
Right. Yeah. So we want to give them freedom.
Yeah.
Funnily enough, I had this conversation with my little girl not too long ago. And I'm like, you know, do you want to take over this? Because the animations that I'm working on now, they were inspired by her.
Really?
Right. They were inspired by her. Yeah. She's been asking me to do them for the last 5 years.
Oh, wow.
Do you know what I'm saying? So I'm like, all right, cool. Do you want to do this? And she was like, you know what? I'm not sure what I want to do yet, but, you know, I think I'm going to do my own thing. I want to kind of find my own lane and do my own thing. So I'm all right, cool.
I love that.
So there's always this pressure that we put on ourselves, which is to create and build something that the next generation can take over.
Yeah.
But they don't give a shit, really. They want to do their own thing.
Yeah.
So it's down to the tools, really, right?
Isn't that the truth?
Right.
I mean, my dad still scratches his head. I mean, he brings us full circle on this segment, right? I mean, that's how it started. I mean, he's sitting there thinking like, why isn't he here? And I was, well, you know, times have changed.
Would you ever, do you think?
Not while they're, you know, may they live a very long life. May they live, you know, until they're mid-100s, if possible, man.
I feel you.
But we've got different styles. We've got different energies, you know. And blood and business, man. Blood and business.
It's a tough one. It's a tough one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We definitely need to do a whole podcast on blood and business. A whole series, for real.
Like I'm telling you, man. Yeah, there's a lot of these families out here that, you know, all over the world, right?
Yeah.
I think Europe and North America is corporate, relatively corporate.
Yeah.
Family businesses are dying, but there's the entrepreneurs, right, that are still kind of, you know, grinding it out, if you will. But Latin America, Asia Pacific, Middle East, Africa, it's all families.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You go any one of these countries, go to Ghana, go to Nigeria, go to Colombia, you go to Indonesia.
Yeah.
Right? It's 10, 15 families that run the place.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm glad you went in that direction because I want to talk about that for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your last position as CEO, you were overseeing Middle East, Africa, Turkey.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, we know that there's a lot of expats there's an influx coming in from Europe, coming in from the US.
Mm-hmm.
Now, fundamentally, doing business in the Middle East is very different to doing business in Europe, to doing business in America.
Night and day.
Literally. How have you been able to, what's been some of the biggest challenges to be able to essentially bridge that gap for you going into these positions and these companies?
So when you're dealing with Europe and North America primarily, it's very paper driven. You're following a process, and it's a process that has been defined through time, right? The first company was the East India Dutch Company, right? These processes are hundreds of years old that they've designed, right? Understanding the process, understanding the transaction, right? And understanding what influences a transaction, what the cycle is, and which part of the process am I in, and what do I need in order to de-risk the other side along the way. It's very process driven, right? Whereas in Latin America, Asia Pacific, Middle East, and Africa, it's very emotional, right? It's family driven primarily, right? Money doesn't matter. I want to know who you are.
Right.
What, you know, come sit, talk. Right. Let me know who you are. Tell me your story. Tell me about your daughter. Tell me about your father, right? Let's get done. Let's get this done first. And then we can transact. And then it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Once you get that trust in these parts of the world, the transaction becomes normal. And the price doesn't matter. Mm. Because I want to see you grow. I want to grow. And we're close, right? And it comes, I think, from the struggle mentality, right? These are the Middle East, Africa, Asia Pacific, bar Australia, if you will, and Latin America. These are places that were 60, 70 years ago where, you know?
Yeah, desolate.
You know what I mean?
It's only desolate. Developed over the last 50 years, really.
Right? So it's when we didn't have anything, yeah. It was, you know, I share with you my date. Here's half of my date,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because I want to see you survive. And right, and here's my house. You don't have shelter. Come, right? You know, when you take a look at you juxtapose that to Europe and North America, who it's ancient money, right? I live in Western Europe. Some, you know, say a week a month, right? And you're walking around and wow, this house was built in 1462.
I know, right?
Right?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm in an open air museum, my guy. Right. You know? Like 1462?
Facts!
You know?
Facts! Open air museum. Wild. For reals.
It's
for
wild, real. Right? Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, how many times has that house been bought and sold since 1462?
Listen.
You get me?
Literally.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So, you're thinking back 500 years in this part of the world. Yo, man, this was, you know, it was barren.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. There was, there was like goat hooves to get the pearls. And then, hey, listen, I make shiny for you, you know? And we can I have rice?
It's such a good
point. You know what I mean?
It's such a good point. Because I was literally talking to somebody, I was talking to an architect friend of mine this past week. And I'm like, man, I'm enjoying living in Dubai, but I'm like, you know what? I miss my UK home, but also being here and being exposed to a different architecture of building.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I don't want to go back to the exposed brick type homes anymore because these houses have been around. They've been built in the 50s or 40s.
Middle ages.
It's crazy. Yeah, right.
Yeah. So, literally 40s and 50s.
Literally. Right. Sorry. So I'm looking at properties in London. I'm like, look, I want something different. I'm going to have to tear something down and rebuild, which is not the norm. It's not the culture in these parts because we want to carry on the legacy. Some areas.
That.
Exactly. Some areas in London, you can't even rebuild. You can't touch the outside.
They won't let you.
They won't let you. The council won't permit it. You've got to build on the inside and build downwards.
Yeah, for
you
real.
You can't literally change the outlet.
In the back, you can build some glass.
Right.
You know what I mean?
It's crazy.
But
that's where we're coming from. Right. And we're coming into these parts. And for me, being here has been an absolute culture shock on so many different levels.
Yeah.
Because like you said, there is paper. There's a system on paper and it works on paper.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so you're used to certain things working and functioning a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas being here, it's not so much.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They say that this is the way it is, but it doesn't quite do that.
Yeah.
And so trying to juggle that with my European Western mentality has been tough.
Yeah.
It's been tough to a certain degree. I'm like, all right, cool.
You've got an open whiteboard. You draw what you want, right? And this is the architect's dream.
Yeah.
Right? Yo, come here. Unlimited budget. Make some sick shit. You know? make some shit the world hasn't seen before. You know, bigger.
Yeah.
Bigger.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Yeah, yeah. No, think bigger, you know? And I think it kind of put Dubai on the map. I mean, you remember when there was 33% of the world's cranes in Dubai at one time.
Yes,
you know what I mean? Like literally one in three high-rise cranes.
It's still the case, no?
Yeah.
More.
You know what, man? I'll tell you what. Africa is booming right now, man.
That's a fact.
Right? Africa is booming. I mean, I'm traveling more and more, right? And it's becoming more and more corporate. Right,
the structure is there
right? Yeah. and people are trying to do business. They're not trying to control.
Yeah,
I think everybody realizes that this having a closed market isn't in anybody's benefit.
Absolutely.
Right. We live in a very open world, right? With the tech, with the, you know, we're on Teams all the time. You're on, you know, WhatsApps, you're on your socials. It's scary, right? I mean, if you want to get followed, you can get followed.
Yes.
Right.
It's not hard.
Yeah. Right. And so you have to, you know, you have to live in that world.
Yeah.
You have to be public.
Absolutely.
Right.
That's the way it is.
Right.
That's the way it is now.
And if you do it with transparency and honesty, like you're doing it, right, then it creates a nice persona. People remember you well and people want to reach out to you.
Absolutely.
Right. You know, if you're running in silence and, you know, trying to make deals behind closed doors, don't get me wrong, that still happens. But I think we're moving further and further away from that as time goes on.
I see.
So I honestly, West Africa specifically for me is, you know, it's right on the map.
I agree.
You know, East Africa is developing. But for me, West Africa is just, wow, it's just...
It's ready. It's ripe for everything.
It's going to rock this next decades.
Because, sure. I mean, I'm from Ghana and the things that have happened over... Haven't been going to Ghana. I lived in Ghana for a bit. And when I compare things that are happening now to when I lived there, 20-something years ago?
Mm-hmm.
My goodness.
Yeah, yeah.
It's crazy. It's
shout
like,
out to my Ghanaian entrepreneurs, you guys.
For reals.
Really.
Honestly, no.
God, I see you guys. I recognize you guys all across the world.
100%.
Bigger.
100%.
Bigger.
Look, you've got your ears to the ground. You know what's popping.
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you this, because I think you're in a great position to be able to answer this.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, as time goes on, the industries continue to change. New industries continue to emerge.
Mm-hmm.
For people who are coming up, what would you say are maybe the top 3 to 5 industries to be a part of at the moment? Because you've done a transition from finance to gold, oil and gas to now tech.
My guy, that's
you know what I'm saying?
A great question.
What would you say? Mm.
I think every industry... Oh, you know what? I got the answer for this one. I love it when it comes to me, man. You know, yeah. I'm like, no, I got this. I'm like, wait, hold on. Let me think real quick. I got this. I think no matter what industry you're in, you're a tech business. I think you need to realize that.
Ooh.
Right? Whatever it is, you're in
fashion,
you're in food, you're in, you're a gas station, you're whatever, you're in a tech business. You need to realize that there's processes and systems that you need to put in place.
Right.
And there's a tech presence that you need to have. There's an online presence that you need to have. So I see that more and more and more, right? Pretty much every project I do is somehow tech related, no matter the industry, right? And it's so much so that I've invested in tech companies, right? So I focused, you know, from banking into supply chain. Into,
yes.
If you trading.
Yeah, yeah.
If
tell
you will.
Us more about that as well.
spare parts, food, medicine, cosmetics, you know. And so it's, you know, this part of the world, especially the Middle East, is primarily known for its logistics.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Jebel Ali Free Zone. Shout out to Jebel Ali. You guys killing it, doing really well. Emirates Airlines, right? DP World. These are big players in the world of logistics, right? And, you know, I kind of keeping true to that nature, these North American, the European companies that have their intellectual property, right? The Unilevers, the Heinz, the Johnson & Johnsons, you know, they, in essence, what they do is they make IP.
Yeah.
They don't necessarily manufacture in Europe. They might manufacture in Europe to manage their supply chain in Europe, but they manufacture all over the world, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And in markets like Latin America, like the Middle East, Africa, Asia Pacific, these larger companies that have IP make relationships. And this is kind of what I told you about the family stuff, right? They'll come and Toyota will have a family per country that they deal with, right?
Got it.
Heinz will have a family per country, Unilever, all of them.
It's a bit monopolized though then, isn't it?
It was, right?
That's changing.
The world
you think?
Is changing.
Yeah,
the world is changing. And we're seeing that. I can tell you every industry I'm seeing that, right? And all across from the whole world, right?
Yeah,
we call them principles, right?
Yeah.
These principles, the brands,
yeah.
Right? They're realizing that, you know what, let's run a duopoly at least, right? Let's, you know, in an ideal world, it's a free market, Yeah. Right? The customer does not want to be dictated anymore. Yes. Right? So it's the customer journey, really. Mm. Right? And it's impossible to stop people buying online. Right?
Of course.
In a world, right?
Yeah.
In a world where I was, you know, the distributor for Heinz ketchup, right? I was the Heinz distributor. You could only get ketchup from me, and I would sell it to the retailers, the Waitroses, the Tescos, and whatever it may be. But now I've got people, you can go on Amazon and buy Heinz ketchup.
Yeah.
You can go on, there's probably somebody who, you know, and they'll ship it in from Ghana.
Yes.
If it's the right price, right? I mean, it doesn't, you know.
Absolutely.
It's the price, right? And people are with ding, 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 ding. So, I mean, you have to follow that customer journey. So I think tech really changed everything.
Yeah.
To kind of bring it full circle to your question, realizing that you're a tech business, regardless of what it is, is the key, man. If you're a retailer, e-tail. If you're a distributor, work on your processes. Make sure that customers can see what their stock is. If you know, yeah, man, it's pretty much all across the board. Yeah.
Where do you see crypto and blockchain fitting into all of this?
Oh man, I can't wait for it to be mainstream.
I'm so
tired of this pagan world that we live in. I mean, it's it is, man.
I think it's still an advantage for us, though, who are the early adopters, I suppose, right?
I agree. I'm tired of the pagan banking system. Mm. You know,
mm-hmm.
It's ancient.
Yes.
Right. Sending money places is long.
Yes.
Right. And it gets stopped and KYC and what are you doing and Wagwan and what are you doing? Where's your money from? Oh, you look like, I don't know if I like you, my guy.
If I tell you the stress I've been under over the last, 3 months with banking.
Mad. Yeah.
In Dubai and in the UK.
Yeah, everywhere, man. Everywhere, bro. Can you imagine if you were doing honest business with Colombia?
Mm-mm.
Right. I'm selling them Ariel. Tide, right? I'm telling spark plugs, whatever, right? Yo, where's the why is there so much money coming in from Colombia? What's the deal? You know, show me the invoices. No, okay, invoices aren't. Show me the bill of lading. I want to see.
Yeah.
Yo, why don't you just jump on the boat with them and make sure that the stock landed? You know what I mean?
Mm.
It's long,
it is long.
I think the solution is created because of the problem.
Right.
And the problem is rampant right now.
Right.
It is rife.
And it's worse
now. It's getting worse and worse and worse. The more conflict we have, right? Europe shuts off Russia.
Yep.
Says, yo, don't like this, you know, for whatever reason, man. Yeah. Death and destruction is horrible. There's a lot of it going on in the world.
Absolutely.
You know, may God bring peace and harmony to everybody.
Inshallah.
But, you know, there are Russian entrepreneurs that need to transact, right?
There's still Ukrainian human. People. They're also at an inconvenience with their country.
Countries that have hyperinflation in Africa that I can't trust my own currency.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. So the problem is there. And I think the problems are getting more and more and more, the more we secularize, right? I'm seeing governments go inwards and go further right. Right. And it's this whole you versus me mentality. And it's way more. I mean, we grew up in a time which was a little bit more inclusive.
Mm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
We were the Benetton ad.
Mm.
Right. The first United Colors of Benetton. Right. Mm. You got the black, the brown, you know, all in one picture, you know. And, you know, you've got this. I feel like it was a little bit more inclusive. We felt that there was a possibility.
Mm.
And I think we all were really, I think the world was trying to climatize to each other.
Yeah.
We were trying to learn about each other.
Yeah.
We were trying to accept each other.
Yeah.
Right. LGBTQ, right. I mean, these are acronyms that we created in our generation.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
We love.
Yes.
We don't, you know, we're that love generation, 100%. Man, you know, And what I'm starting to see is that I'm starting to see that love kind of drift a little bit, and people are trying to tell people, well, he looks different. You shouldn't talk to him, right? He speaks that. Don't, you know, they're not us, right? And that's going ancient again. I'm seeing it more and more happen, right?
You see, I feel like I feel like when you are in, when we go back to our parents and our grandparents' generation, because they didn't have the mindset of inclusivity and diversity that we have, like you said, we love. When you are in this era of love, you are able to notice every simple discrepancy,
mm-hmm.
right? So I feel like our huge attention to the indiscrepancies is not necessarily because there's more of it now. Mm-hmm. I think it's because we are in a different consciousness now. And so any slight discrepancy becomes a lot more magnified.
I see that.
Do you know what I'm saying? Because when I do travel, like, you know, first time I went to like Malaysia or Singapore was maybe 10, 15 years ago. Mm-hmm. Whereas when I am in that environment now, it's not as uncomfortable as it used to be.
Yeah, I get that.
You know what I mean?
It's not
as uncomfortable as it used to be.
We're all a little bit more similar.
Like now we're going to Japan and China and all of these different places.
Yeah.
And it's different now.
Yeah, I get that.
I feel a little bit more comfortable than
Well, it's because everybody's on their phones on Instagram.
Well,
right? Everybody's sitting there doing, we're all so similar now. You know what I mean?
They're used to seeing different people. Ten years ago in Singapore, I was being stared at in the mall.
Yeah, 100%. In Japan 15 years ago, people stopped me on the street taking a picture. Wow.
Right. Fact.
You know what I mean? 100%. Straight up.
100%. So,
in in their little Minnie Mouse costumes. I'm like, yo, let me take a picture with you, my guy. You know what I mean? Like, you know, there's a whole grown ass man in a Minnie Mouse costume.
Okay.
You know?
There we go.
Shout out to my Japanese, my bad. I was a clown.
So the world, I feel like we recognize these problems more because we are the love generation because we're operating in a different consciousness now. Mm-hmm. So any slight deviation from that, I feel we notice it a little bit more. Mm-hmm. I'll end this. So I want you to think about it. Mm-hmm. I'll end this by asking you what your worst day in business was. But before I ask you that, if you had to narrow down your principles for life and business to between 3 and 5 major principles that you live by, what would you say those are?
Hardest worker in the room. Mm. If you're the smartest person in the room, get the hell out of that room. You can't buy loyalty. Mm. I mean, those are top three, man. Are the ones that just, those are straight from the soul.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Straight from
I
the
love
soul.
That. Oof.
Know? Yeah.
If you're the smartest person in the room, get out of that room.
100%.
You have outgrown that circle.
100%. 100%.
I love that.
Let me end this with.
Mm-hmm. I want you to tell us a little bit more, even before we end, about Blue Rock, because you've just taken this new position.
I just have, man. Yeah. So it was an investment that I made about 12 or 14 months ago. It was a silent investment. It was something that I knew. It's right in the logistics supply chain world, and it's a tech company. I loved the tech, right? It's pure AI in cloud. I mean, it's right up my alley, man. This is not ancient tech. This was made 5-6 years ago.
Yeah,
right. New tech. New. The algorithms are bad. Right, they're just designed to pump out, decisions that would take days, weeks for us to figure out. And so I clocked the tech, and I made the silent investment, and kind of built off of the success of Slimstock. We were at a board meeting, and the board was just like, Saudi, you know, step in. Mm. You know, we need you to amplify this to the world, right? It had 15, 16 offices around the company, around the country. This is a new position for
it's growing
me.
Quickly,
right? Yeah, it'll be. It's still. I mean, we're still announcing in the next 15 days, right? Yeah. So, and I'm taking over as chief commercial officer of it globally. Right.
Amazing. Congrats.
Thanks,
bro.
Man.
Congrats.
Thank you. So it's the only C-suite, well, other than chief marketing that I haven't had.
Yeah.
Right? So it's, it's about amplifying the voice around the world. It's about ensuring that the packaging of the product is right, that the go-to-market strategy is there, and then executed on it, right? You've got a big budget that you've got to let out.
Do you find it daunting when you go into a new environment, new company, new organization in that C-suite position? Because there's a lot of pressure.
You know what, man? If you're a genuinely nice person, then people will just gravitate towards you, right? How are we for swearing on this podcast?
Go for it, man. Yeah.
Moral of the story, don't be a dickhead. If you're the chief dickhead officer, nobody's going to want to fuck with you. You know what I mean? Rock up, be a cool guy, be you. Two ears, one mouth, listen more than you talk, you know? And you know, climatize as well. Give people time to get used to you, you know? But people are drawn to your vision. If you're manifesting something, right? And you're able to then, if you have the knowledge to be able to turn that manifestation onto paper, into a plan, right? Because the plan is where it's at, right? Yeah. Manifesting is one thing, right? I want the mirror, right? How am I going to get the mirror? Right. All right, I got to wake up tomorrow. I got to do this. I got to do that. I got to call this guy. I got to figure this out. And I see I need this step, that step. And you reverse engineer the mirror on that yacht to where you are today. And that's the plan,
yeah.
Right? And so the plan is a big part of it. And then that's that grit, you know, I got this.
Yeah.
I got this. And people will believe you.
Yeah.
They really will, right? If you've got a good plan and you're actually waking up and you're getting it done and, you know, you're getting people excited about it, you know, then people will believe you and you'll get out there and you'll do it.
I love it. Listen, best of luck to this new position, man. Thank you, King. That's the last question I'm going to ask you.
Yeah, hit me.
What was the day in business? Would you say this is the worst day you've had in business? It's a lot of highs. What is that low?
I can't. There's a couple.
Yeah.
There's a couple that really deep.
Yeah.
Yeah, like that'll come from the soul. They're always emotional. They're never financial.
Yeah.
You know, you could take a loss, you know, paper loss, number loss, whatever it is, you know, that's not a hard day. It's when you thought something was true and it isn't. Right? Or you thought somebody was real and they're not. Right? So two specific moments happened to me. One early on in my career that really defined who I am. For all the young people out there, I mean, if you're left with anything from this, make sure you have more than one source of income, right? Never only have one. If you have one source of income, you get played, you get stopped. Make sure that, you know, if you're a consultant at Accenture, work on your e-tail business.
Right.
Right. Learn programming, figure something out, go, you know, just make sure you have another source of income, right? Or else you're dictated.
Right.
Right. You become at somebody else's
you're
will.
You're vulnerable.
Right. So that the first day was when I learned that.
Yeah.
Right. I learned.
Oof, it's a good, you know, tough lesson to learn.
That was a tough one.
But it's good you learned it early
on. And the second one was, I call it the great reveal for me. Right. The great reveal for me was thinking I could buy loyalty and seeing that unfold. Right. Seeing a certain team that you would have that. I mean, they looked like fam to you. You know, they called you fam. Right.
Poof.
You were there for each other night, day, whatever. Right. And then there's an option for somebody to like do their own thing. And instead of doing that, like coming clean and saying like, hey, listen, I want to do A, B, C, D, E, F, and G, you know, which if you're a cool guy and you're not a dickhead, you're going to be like, yeah, calm.
Yeah.
Can I help you?
Yeah.
Do you need anything?
Yeah.
You know, because I talk about manifestation all the time with everybody. Right. And I get them in that zone.
Yeah.
I don't dictate who you are. You dictate who you are. You tell me what you want and I'll make sure if I can help you, I'll help you, you know?
Yeah.
And, and the great reveal to me was seeing a certain situation unfold. That one hurt.
Yeah.
But, so those are the two hardest days I've had in business, right? I'm choking up even thinking about it.
I feel you.
Yeah, I feel you.
And that last one that you talked about, loyalty, mine is still fresh.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, I'm so sorry.
Mine is still fresh.
I'm so sorry.
2023 was probably the hardest thing that I had to learn.
Really?
Oof.
Oh.
I'm like, damn.
Wasn't 23 revealing?
Yo.
Right? 23 was a year where there was a lot of, you know, you got to really see the real true
colors, man.
You know what I'm saying?
It was harsh. I was like, what the fuck am I missing?
How did you wake up on the next day on that, right? Did you like deep it, or did you like push that away for time? And it then was, like, cause you had to like, and you had to maneuver. I'm sure it was a techie situ.
Do you know what? It was like, it was over a period of time. So it was tough.
Death by a thousand cuts.
Oh, literally.
Horrible.
And I'm like, damn, like, you too?
You're seeing this reveal. Bro, I'm so sorry.
And I'm like,
I'm so thankful. Mine was on a day.
Nah.
It was one day.
Mine was 2023.
Oh,
the year. Oh.
My guy.
That was 2023, the year. And yeah, I remember.
Shout out to 24, man. This is the year,
real,
man.
No, honestly.
This is the year.
I remember one of my good friends just asked me recently. He was like, which one surprised you the most?
Mm.
And I was like, you know what? I'm not one of those people who feel entitled to anything, really. I'm not entitled to your loyalty.
Mm. Yeah.
But, but I will give it first.
Yeah.
To set the precedence of what the tone of this relationship ought to be.
I love that.
And when I've been giving and you have the opportunity to show me who you are, and that's when I get to find out.
Yeah.
That's tough.
Yeah.
That's tough.
That's tough.
But it's life. And I always say that, you know, elevation requires isolation.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know, people can't go with you to the next level.
Mm.
And the universe is going to orchestrate whatever it needs to orchestrate to separate you from people who no longer belong in your future.
Yo, that's deep, you know. Elevation, you know,
requires separation.
Isolation.
Isolation. Fact.
Mad.
It's the fact.
Bro, you need to coin these, bro.
Bro.
I want t-shirts.
you know what?
Let's get,
I hear that.
Let's get it.
Because we need to be reminded of this stuff.
100.
Because sometimes when you're going through it, it's not it's not even that bad things are happening.
Yeah.
It's that, yo, it's just the season.
Yeah.
One season has ended.
Yeah.
Like when we start putting our coats on after summer's over,
it's
not because there was anything wrong with summer and it had to go.
Yeah.
It's because winter's coming.
It's because winter's here.
And that's it.
And when you're
going into that season, your environment is going to change.
Yeah.
So the way you present yourself is going to have to change. The way you cover up is going to have to change.
And that
was the biggest lesson, you know?
Yeah.
So flip it, heck.
23, bro, man. Fuck you.
But we're glad to be
fuck you,
here,
23
bro.
Is 24,
we're glad
baby.
To be here. We're glad. Oh, like I said,
I'm so glad I can swear on this podcast, man. We need to do this more often, man.
Listen, let's do a tour. Do you know what I'm saying?
I'm in.
Bro, it's such a fucking pleasure having you on the
thank
pod.
You.
Honestly,
thank you,
man.
King. Honestly.
There's so much more that I want to go, but I feel like I need to. There's so much to digest from this episode alone.
So
we've got to do it in bites. So you've got
to
come back.
Yeah,
you've got
I'd
to do another
to.
One. Let's set a target for another 90 days.
Yeah, let's do it. let's make sure our staff actually have dinner and hang out and like each other.
Let's do that, because bloody hell.
Nah, we'll make this happen.
Again,
I'm just teasing, man. Thank you so much for having me on the show, man. Really,
it's
an absolute pleasure.
Thank you for coming, honestly. Love you, man.
I love you.
I appreciate your friendship. Appreciate you.
Big up.
Do you know what I'm saying? Thank you for the gems. Thank you guys as well for coming back to the Moving Mountains. I know I took a break. It was necessary. But it's great to be back. I feel like I'm ready to keep pouring out again. It's very necessary. Sometimes you need to take a break to replenish. You can't pour from an empty
cup. Isolation we just talked
about,
right? You know
what I'm
saying? You need to isolate for a little bit.
100%. That's calm. 100%.
Yeah, say less. Coming back
bigger
and stronger.
So I'm back. Moving Mountains podcast, baby. All new episodes drops every Monday and Wednesday. Available on all platforms.